Hello everyone, welcome to the Middle East today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi seems to be leading in the latest count of the polls in the first round of the first popular presidential election in Egypt since the former dictator Hosni Mubarak stepped down. Now the next and final round will most probably be a face-off between Morsi and former Prime Minister of Mubarak's regime, Ahmad Shafiq, who seems to be coming in second according to the Muslim Brotherhood's counts. In any case, observers believe this is the first step to real popular representation in Egypt, perhaps, maybe so. Let's get some more with our guests today. I'm joined by Professor Jamal Wakim, professor from the Lebanese International University. He's joining me here in the studio in Beirut. I'm also joined by Mr. Ali Kabbani, Egyptian political analyst, joining us from London. I want to get both of your views, of course. Professor Jamal, let me get your take first. Now, do you think that these elections will have, of course, finally two candidates? And who do you think they will be?
I believe that Ahmad Shafiq and Mohamed Morsi will be facing each other in the second round of elections, according to the latest statistics. We have Ahmad Shafiq ranking second after Morsi with 23% of votes. Mohamed Morsi having 25%, Abdel Fattah, 20%, and Hamdine Sabahi, 19%, while Amr Moussa ranking fifth with 12%.
Now, was this a surprise for you, I mean, when you saw these results coming out?
No, not at all. I believe that the old regime is still well enshrined in different aspects of Egyptian society and Egyptian institutions, especially when we know that the biggest, let's say, party in Egypt alongside the Muslim Brothers, it's the military, it's the army itself that has been in control of political life since 1952. So, and when we talk about the army, we're talking also about an establishment that controls almost one-third of the Egyptian economy. So this is a normal reflection. These elections or these results are a normal reflection of the quota that the army represents, whether on the political level, on the economic level, and on the social level. So, especially that the Mubarak regime was a byproduct of this military regime, and especially that since the days of Nasser in 1962, there was a standoff between Nasser and the army, and the one who had the upper hand, it was the army itself. Mm-hmm. So, and Nasser had to back down and bow to the pressure of the army. This is something that is not frequently told, but this is a fact. Same during the days of Sadat and afterwards during the days of Mubarak, there was a more, let's say, expansion of the role of the army, especially when the army started to have its own economic institutions, civilian institutions. They have hotels, they have restaurants. Mm-hmm. Other than the military industry.
Yes. Well, let me take what you were saying to our guest in London, Mr. Ali Kabbani. Do you believe that whoever comes out to be president in Egypt, the military council is there to stay?
That will be a big mistake, actually, because the Egyptian people started the revolution to end the military rule in Egypt. So it will be really sarcastic if the military council still have a role in Egypt after electing the president. One would understand that the Egyptian people made their uprising against the autocratic rule, against the dictatorship, against the corruption, but above all, the military regime which controlled Egypt since 1952 until now, more than six decades. So it is ironic, actually, that Ahmad Shafiq, according to the first indication, comes second after Morsi, because one would imagine that the Egyptian people would refuse all the remnants of the old regime And we shouldn't forget that Ahmed Shafiq is a colleague of Mubarak. He has got all his loyalty to him. He has been chosen to be the last prime minister before Mubarak stepped down. And even after Mubarak stepped down, he was in direct contact with him, according to Haykel, by the phone while he was in Sharm el-Sheikh.
Yes,
so I cannot imagine.
With this in mind, do you think that is the differences between the Islamist groups and even the opposition groups and the revolutionaries themselves that has somewhat led to this, that you have a figure of the former regime perhaps very close to being president?
That will be ironic, as I said, because I don't trust the opinion polls in Egypt, because there is no independent and scientific organization to do such independent polls. But the real indication was the election of the parliament, in which the Islamists gained more than 65% of the votes. Also, the early results of the presidential election among the Egyptians working abroad showed also that the Islamists have at least 60%. So it will be really surprising and would let a lot of people doubt the transparency and the independence and the fairness of this election if one of the old remnants come even second in this first round. But I believe in the second round, whoever represents the Islamists will win, because, as I said, the popularity of the Islamist movement in Egypt is more than 65%. And the real competition now is between two categories, the Islamists and the remnants of the old regime. And one would not imagine that the military council would really do this conspiracy and bring and forge the election to bring one of the remnants of the old regime, because that will mean that the counter-revolution elements have succeeded and the revolution in Egypt have been aborted, and that will lead the revolutionary youth of Egypt to go back in the streets and start the second phase of the revolution again to get rid of these remnants after getting rid of the head of the old regime.
Yes, well, what Mr. Kabbani is saying is quite serious, Professor Joaquim. Do you think that we will be back to square one if we see Ahmed Shafiq close to power? Do you think that the non-Islamist candidates took advantage of the differences between the Islamist groups, between even the opposition groups and the revolutionaries themselves?
Of course, we cannot put the Islamists in one basket, because the Muslim Brothers are totally different from the Salafi groups in terms of political direction and in terms of socio-political and economic affiliation. So I believe that differences, as they exist between Islamists, as they exist between seculars and between the remnants of the old guard or the old regime. But if we see the ballots so far, I believe that in the second round we have Ahmed Shafiq starting with 35%, with an assured 35% of the votes, because he will take all the votes that Amr Musa got. On the other hand, I don't believe that Mohamed Morsi will be able to take all the votes of Abdel Menem Abdel Fattah, because there are differences sometimes between the or there are rifts and divisions between Islamists that make it a bit hard for an Islamist to support another. I'm not talking at the level of the top leadership, but I'm talking about the general public. Regarding the legislative elections, the legislative elections happened at a time when the military council was trying to strike a deal with the Islamists in order to share power, so that they will, the executive will remain in the hands of the military and the legislative power will be in the hands of the Islamists. The Islamists got almost 65% of the votes or their seats of the parliament, not only because they are popular. This is one factor.
Yes.
But they got a bit more than their popularity because they were the most organized at a time when other groups were less organized. However, now we have other groups being more organized, seculars, nationalists, and so on, organized behind Hamdi.
Where are their votes? I mean, these nationals, the Nasserites, where are their votes going now?
I believe that some of them will go for Mohamed Morsi in the second round. But there are a lot of them who believe that they were betrayed by the Muslim Brothers, because for them the Muslim Brothers didn't join the revolution right from the beginning. That's what they believe in. And they believe that they were backstabbed in the legislative elections because they should have got more than what they actually got with their, because they were allied to the Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
Especially I'm talking about Hamdin, I'm talking about Amin Skandar, I'm talking about Mohammed Said Idris and others. So the supporters of these people believe that their share should have been much bigger, because they were the ones to cast the biggest, let's say, sacrifices during the revolution. This is what they believe in. So I believe that a portion of the votes that went to Hamdin will go to Mohamed Morsi in the second round. Another one will be a bit confused, but too many will, I believe they will stay at home,
uh-huh.
and they will not share.
They will not vote. Do you think that they will go down to the street, like Mr. Kobani is saying, if the result is a remnant
definitely
of the
definitely, none of them regime? Will choose to vote for Ahmad Shafiq.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be frank about it. After all, Mohamed Morsi needs 50% plus one to be able to be elected. So, especially with this new constitution, with too many articles that are still vague. What if Mohamed Morsi ranks first, yet doesn't get the 50% plus one?
What happens in this case?
We need to see what, because really this constitution, it's newly established,
mm-hmm.
it's still a bit vague, it never functioned before, so maybe it will be used, the results will be used by the military council to cancel the results, because no one achieved the results. Maybe they will call for another elections. During this time, they will be able to win time in order to strengthen their uh-huh. position, to be able to win over a bigger portion of the Egyptian votes. And maybe
yes.
there in another election, they will be able to.
And I hope you're saying that military council wants Ahmad Shafiq, just quickly before I go to
yes.
Mr.
Definitely.
Okay.
The military council considers that Ahmad Shafiq is their representative.
Okay. Mr. Qabbani, you think that the differences that I was asking you about between the Islamists, between the opposition groups, you think that this really helped Ahmad Shafiq come to this to this position? And do you think that the United States and Israel will also use this in order to give more credit to previous accords like the Camp David Accord and how the relations used to be between Israel and Egypt?
Of course, the United States is very nervous. So is the Zionist entity in Israel, because of the change which is happening in Egypt. There is an emergency room in both Washington in the State Office and in the American Embassy in Cairo. They were, of course, supporting both Amr Moussa and Ahmad Shafiq, because they wanted to change the regime, but to change the head of the regime, but keep the old regime, to keep Egypt as a client state as it was for the last 30 years.
Why is it that significant to them? Why is the election in Egypt so significant to the United States and Israel, even more than Tunisia and perhaps other countries in the Arab world?
Because of course Egypt is the most strongest player in the area. Whatever happened in Egypt will be reflected in the old Arab world because of Camp David, and they have got this cessation of hostility, and it's helping Israel. And we shouldn't forget that the ex-foreign secretary, ex-defense minister of Israel said about Mubarak that he is a strategic treasure for Israel. So that's why they are very nervous and why they are very worried, and that's why they want the likes of Shafiq and Amr Moussa. But I couldn't really understand your speaker before when he said in the second round, maybe someone will not have a majority. When the second round of the election is between two, one will have more than 50%. So in the second round in June, we will have a president, whoever he is. So there will not be a problem. Second point I want to make clear is that we don't have a new constitution yet in Egypt. There is a constitution declaration, but the constitution itself haven't been agreed upon or even established yet. And this is a big dilemma, because one would have imagined that the Egyptian people should have agreed on a constitution before the presidential election, so we know what is the job description of this coming president and what is his political powers and what is the shape of the political system of governing in Egypt. So everything is vague until now, because it is in the interest of the military council, and it seems to me it will be in the interest of the Muslim Brotherhood also. Okay. The other point is, when I talk about the Islamists, I know, of course, that they are not one category, but one would not imagine any of the Salafis will vote for the remnants of the old regime or for the Nasserite. Certainly, they are different from the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. but if Morsi succeeded to the second round, all the Islamist vote will go for him. They will not, even with their differences with the Muslim Brotherhood, they will not vote for what they consider to be their enemies, the remnants of the old regime, and the secular category.
All right, now both of you agree that it does seem somewhat vague, but we're joined on the phone right now by Mr. Jamal Zaidi. He's editor of Al Ahram magazine, joining us on the phone from Cairo. Mr. Zaidi, do you think that what happened, the latest election, was a true show of democracy in Egypt, perhaps the first in the Arab world? Do you think that this will be reflected also in other Arab states?
The result of the elections is representing, the real democracy process, which is going on now in Egypt. Nobody would be able to predict the results which we are seeing right now. Nobody couldn't predict that Amr Moussa will not get enough votes, or Mr. Abul Futuh as well, or the black horse Hamdin Sabahi. Hamdin Sabahi is a big surprise to the Egyptians. So now the competition, I do believe, would be in the second round between Mr. Mohamed Morsi, who is representing the Muslim Brothers and the Al-Hurriya wal-Adala party, and General Shafiq. In fact, what happened is a real representation to the democratic process. The Egyptian people were very free to pick up or to vote to whom they want. And now it's obvious and clear that 25 to 27%, they want Mohamed Morsi, representing the Muslim Brothers, and another percentage similar or less, they want General Shafi. So I believe in the second round, we will see, before people go into the electoral stations, a lot of surprises. And the election campaign will get much hotter.
All right. Mr. Zaidi, I want you to stay with us. Do you think that the differences between the groups that were in the revolution, including the Islamists, led to this result? Do you think that it affected the votes of the non-Islamist groups? And how do you think this will also impact the future of Egypt?
And in fact, if we are talking about the revolutionary people, it's now obvious that they are divided. If you go and ask young men, the youth today, after the result has been clear, they will tell you that they are divided between Hamdin Sabahi and Amr Musa and Abu al-Futuh. But when it comes to two competitors like Mohamed Morsi and General Shafiq, the scenario is going to be different completely. Some people, they will support Shafiq if they want the secular state. The rest, whom they are with the revolution, they will not support Shafiq anyhow.
All right, thank you, Mr. Zaidi. Let me go back to you, Mr. Qabbani. Now, you said earlier that you perhaps the U.S. does not want to see a lot of different, lot of change in inside Egypt, perhaps a change of the head of the state. Do you think that there's a clear difference between how the European viewpoint and the U.S.'s viewpoint in this regard?
Certainly there is, because the Europeans, they do not have a clear policy for the Middle East, because the Middle East is considered by the American to be their own. And they are believing that the only player who can control this area is the United States, because they call the oil fields in the Gulf Sheikh Dams to be their own oil fields. And one would imagine that really the big struggle between the major power in the world, or the coming struggle, will be between China and the United States. So the United States wants to make sure that they are controlling the Middle East 100%, not to allow any other major power to have a foot in this area. So that's why the election in Egypt is very important to them, and that's why their interest to keep Egypt as a client state, as it used to be during the last 30 years.
Do you think they will use their financial aid? Do you think that they will use the issue of financial assistance to Egypt in order to somewhat, if we may say, tame the new democracy in Egypt?
The financial aid to Egypt is really a joke, because it's not a financial aid which helped the Egyptian people. It is a financial aid to the military establishment in Egypt to guarantee the loyalty of the regime to them. So the Egyptian people never benefited from this aid. And as I said, it was all for military equipment to the military establishment. And by the way, these military weapons are not to be used against Israel. So I really wonder against who the Egyptian military establishment will use these American weapons. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine that they will use it against Sudan or against Libya. So it is actually a non-issue, this financial aid, and if America cut it tomorrow, that will not affect Egypt in any way. And don't forget that 1.3 billion in Egypt doesn't affect the economy of this country at all.
All right.
The only point I want to make is that if this election outcome is a result, is the winning of Shafiq, it means that the succession file, which the Egyptian people rebelled against to close this succession file to the biological son, it now went to the other son from the military establishment.
That's an important and point.
The
yes,
success of Shafiq will keep the military establishment on the head of the Egyptian power for the coming 4 years.
Thank you, because we're running out of time. Back to you, Professor Joachim. Do you think that the West does just want a show of democracy, whereas does not want to see a change in the essence?
Definitely, and I don't believe that any of the candidates, except for Hamdin Sabahi, would have presented any rift with the past. All other candidates declared that they will be abiding by the treaties signed by Egypt, let's say, giving allusion to Camp David agreement, for example. They all said that they will be concerned with domestic affairs and not with foreign affairs. The only exception was Hamdin Sabahi,
Well, Amr Moussa did mention this somewhat. Do you think this was a try to get some more popular votes?
No, not at all. We shouldn't forget that Amr Moussa was the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Egypt throughout the 90s,
yes.
And then he was the head of this Arab League.
Uh-huh.
So he is a representative of the official and mainstream Egyptian foreign policy.
Yes.
So I believe that for the time being, whoever the president of Egypt will be, there will be no major change, but mainly a rearrangement of local Egyptian
yes.
affairs.
Just a quick answer. Do you think that countries like Saudi Arabia fear that there will be an extension of the democracy to its home front or to countries like Jordan?
I don't believe
so
because the United States is assuring Saudi Arabia against any potential regime change or against any mass upheaval, unlike the case of Egypt, especially that Saudi Arabia, the population of Saudi Arabia is much smaller than that of Egypt, and it's a totally different socioeconomic situation.
Professor Jamal Wakim, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Mr. Ali Kabbani, also, I want to thank you. We're also joined by Mr. Jamal Zaidi from Cairo. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.